What's going on, guys? Welcome to this edition of the John Papaloni Show. Today, we have Anmol Singh. How's it going, buddy?
Going great. How are you?
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. I'm excited about our episode. I'm looking forward to all the things we're going to unpack today.
Yeah, definitely. Looking forward to chatting with you as well.
Awesome. Let's start off the podcast with a little description of who you are, what you do, and how you got there.
Yeah, so for a living, you know, I trade stock market for a living. Active trader, pretty much do that every single day. So that's the primary thing that I do. And then I use a lot of my profits, and then I bought real estate. I do a lot of Airbnb business in India, in Goa. We got a bunch of villas there, beautiful town. So we do that too. And then I have livetraders.com where we coach, train other traders and investors, people who are looking to get into the stock market. But the closest thing I would say is, like, I don't know if you watch the TV show Billions, the girl in there, Wendy Rose. I'm kind of like the male version of Wendy Rose, where I talk to investors and hedge fund managers and kind of, you know, keep their psychology in check. So that's kind of what I'm primarily involved is just working with fund managers and newer traders and just working on their mindset and their psychology, because when you're risking millions of dollars every day, it could really have an effect on your psychology. So I kind of help them do that. And I think I bring a unique perspective because I also trade myself.
Absolutely. Now, the mindset thing is one of the hardest things because, you know, let's be honest, for the last 2 years, it's been a rocky road in the market, right? Like, I mean, whether it's real estate or stocks or pretty much anything in the economy, it's sort of been all over the place. One minute it looks like it's bad, then it looks like it's coming back, then it looks like the craziness is going to come back, and then it's like, yeah, tea, psych, and then it's like back to all over the place. So keeping your mind in check with all that happening, it's not exactly a picnic, and it's very easy to get swayed and do hasty things such as cash out early, or cash out when you should actually be buying more and not holding and then taking the loss. And you know what I mean? Like, again, right? Like, most stuff is long term. And as long as you play out the long term, you usually don't lose. Usually is the key word. So, and people are very haste when the market's going down and they panic.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's the biggest reason why most people don't make it, is because they buy at the wrong times, they sell at the wrong times. They're buying when everybody's greedy, everybody's talking about it in the news, then they want to jump in. And then on the flip side, when things are going down, when they actually should be buying, that's when they end up selling. And I think that's the biggest reason why investors fail. But trading, for traders, though, it's a little bit different, because traders, we do this every day, in and out, all day long, of different stocks. So that has a very different aspect to your psychology, too, where you have to have a business plan, you have a trading plan, and you got to stick to it. You got to follow it systematically, without letting your emotions influence decision-making. And that's another big piece here.
Yeah, absolutely. Why did you choose this industry out of curiosity? I mean, because there's so many things we can do. Like, growing up, I mean, let's be honest, nobody wakes up at 6 years old and say, I want to be a real estate agent. I want to be a stockbroker. I want to trade stocks. I want to, invest. You know, usually people want to do stuff like, you know, the traditional, I'm going to be a teacher, fireman, police officer, whatever else that seems like the, typical programmable lawyer, doctor thing that we get taught when we grow up. But as we grow up and as we age and as we learn new things and develop a mind for ourselves, we go different directions. So what was the inspiration for you?
Yeah, so I definitely did not choose this industry. This industry chose me, you know, because I wanted to actually get into like a business marketing kind of a job in college. So I was there in London, went to college there. So while we were studying, and then there came a time that you have to apply for internships. So in London, the university is a little bit different. You got to work a little bit first before you can graduate. So you have to get an internship and all those stuff. And that was the time where I was applying to a bunch of different jobs, from marketing to finance to, you know, just regular business operations, anything I could get, because I had no idea what I wanted to do. But then I didn't get in anywhere, like not a single callback. Nobody was replying to my emails or my questionnaire. I just couldn't find a job. So at that point, I just had to come up with something and do something on my own. And I remember I applied for like a job at BMW. They invited me to their office. We did the whole lengthy month-long interview process. And at the end of the day, they're like, oh, sorry, we chose to go with somebody else. So I was like, okay, that's when it dawned on me, I can't rely on other people for my financial future. I can't rely on other people to give me a job. Nobody's giving me a job. So at that point, that's when I was in my dorm room, sitting there, started learning about the stock market, researching, you know, writing a blog on it, just my thoughts on it, and taking online courses, just really diving in. Because while my friends were at their jobs getting the internships, I had nothing to do. So I was in my dorm room, you know, researching. And that's when the seeds were planted. And I was like, I think I kind of like this. It makes me curious. And I think curiosity is the biggest you know, factor in people's success. If you're curious about an industry, you want to learn more. As you learn, you get better. So I think that curiosity is when I noticed that I think I have something here. And I just kind of just went all in.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think too many people ignore their curiosity. And the curiosity is really the difference between going when the going gets tough and giving up, right? Because, I mean, business is not straightforward. It's up and down. And a lot of times the reason people give up is because they go through an idea because they think they can make money. They're not really following it because they actually like what they're doing. And that's a recipe for disaster. And that's why people give up. They lose motivation the minute it gets hard. And the reality is everything in life is hard. You have to just choose your heart.
Right.
And yeah, exactly. So yeah, kudos to you for actually, you know, being curious and following that curiosity. Now, I'm sure it wasn't easy. What would be some of the tribulations and stuff that you went through in the process?
Yeah, so I lost money my whole first year. I had no idea what I was doing. I thought pushing a buy or sell button makes me a trader, but clearly not. There's a lot more that goes into that process. And I think just like everybody else who starts, you gamble, right? You read something online and you think you're the only one who's read it. You've found something. This is going to be the next big thing. And then you end up making those mistakes and you learn those lessons the hard way. I think that's kind of what it was for me. And the hardest, I think, was, you know, the psychology aspect of it. When you see your friends getting all these jobs, everybody else in the college, you know, getting internships and they're being paid for it, you know, not much, but 20, 30, 40,000 as a college student is a lot of money. So I see all my friends getting these jobs and internships, some working at JP Morgan, getting hundreds of thousand dollar packages right after they graduate. And I didn't have anything going on. And I think I started trading and everybody kind of knew that I was learning this trading thing. So, but it was pretty awkward. You go to a party or a networking event in college or something like that. And people would kind of ask you, you know, in a very funny way, oh, so how's that trading thing going? You know, are you still gambling in the stock market? And, you know, those comments, like I really took it to heart. I was like, I am going to get so good at this. Like one day, you know, I'm going to prove it. I think those were the hardest things for me is just like getting, watching everybody get jobs and they'd kind of look at you funny and, you know, but that was the hardest part. But hey, it's all worth it now. And I'm so glad that happened because if I had gotten that job at BMW, right, I'd probably still be there trying to climb that corporate ladder. And I wouldn't have had the life that I have now.
Right. There you go. Right. And sometimes that's one thing we have to remember. Life doesn't happen to you. It happens for you. It's a matter of whether or not you recognize it and see it. And most of the times, if we don't get what we're aiming for, we think it's happening to us. And it's like, we always take that. And it takes real discipline to go beyond that. But where I'm going to go with this is that, like you said, if you did the BMW thing, and to be honest, too many people think that go to school, get a good education so you can get a good job, and then you can retire there, get your white picket fence, and they think it's that easy. Now, for some people, that's the way it works out. But for most people, you end up being 50 years old and laid off. And then you're going, I dedicated my life to this, and I got thrown out like a piece of trash. And that's usually what it feels like. Not for everybody, but many people end up experiencing that. And especially now, when technology and jobs are evolving, we'll say every 5 to 10 years, things are changing. The platform's changing. And on top of that, the skills required is constantly changing. So the stability in the employment market isn't actually there. So in some ways, that what happened to you by not being able to find that job and going on your own and seeking curiosity actually worked for you. It was actually a blessing in disguise.
Yeah. And I think when the whole pandemic thing happened, that gave me a great appreciation for my business because while everybody who quote unquote had a secure job, right, they all got either laid off, they got to work from home, they got to adapt and adjust. Whereas for me, you know, I trade from my computer anyway. So it's like nothing changed for me when in the whole COVID thing happened. Nothing changed at all. I was still doing the exact same thing, same computer, sitting at my house, doing the trading. I think that gave me a great appreciation that a lot of these so-called secure jobs, even people who run great businesses and restaurants, all of that had to be shut off and they had to, you know, rely on their savings rather than the income coming in. So I think that gave me a great appreciation. And that's one of the chapters I wrote about in my book is the silver lining, you know, like how everything, as you were mentioning earlier, is everything happens for you, right? But you can't see it in the moment. You can only connect the dots looking back. Right? You can't see it in the moment. So in the moment, it'll seem like it's the worst thing happened. Why is it happening to me? But it'll all make sense. It'll just take a few years down the line, right? It'll start to make sense. And, you know, now everything makes sense. And that was one of the things I wrote about in my book, Prepping for Success.
Right. So you wrote a book. I actually wasn't even aware of that now, which is awesome. What was the inspiration with the book? I mean, like a lot of times people think of it, but very few people actually, you know, put the pen on paper for lack of a better description.
So a lot of this was like notes for myself to myself, right? So I was in my own journey. I think trading was the biggest personal development journey I've ever embarked on. You learn so much about your mindset and your psychology. And you also learn that trading is not about numbers. It's about your mindset, really. So that put me on a path where, you know, I wanted to just really work on my mindset, really get better at it. So I took a lot of workshops, seminars, hired coaches, hired mentors, attended these retreats, spiritual events. Like, I was really all in into my mindset. And I probably spent millions of dollars on this type of things, hiring different coaches, working with one of the top known coaches in the world. And what I learned, I put it all in a book as notes to myself for myself, right? So that's how it started. It was just, hey, Anmol, here's the 10 things you need to do to be successful out of everything that I've learned. And then one day I was just kind of sitting down and one of my friends came over. They picked it up. They're like, dude, this is really good. You need to publish this into like a book format. And I was like, dude, like, I can't. I'm not a writer. You know, I'm not going to be able to do it. These are just my notes. And then finally that idea came to me. I need to get an editor. I need to turn this into a book. And because it's kind of selfish of me not to turn it into a book, right?
Right.
Because I spent millions of dollars doing this, but not everybody has millions of dollars to hire all these coaches. They don't have even the time to go to these retreats and this different events, masterminds, all this stuff. So that's kind of what my inspiration to turn this into a book so that other people can benefit from it.
Love that. Now, I believe that personal development is a major thing, right? Like, and I believe, you know, that everyone wants to know where to invest. Do I invest in real estate? Do I invest in stocks? Do I invest in crypto? Do I invest in gold? You know what I mean? And it's always those questions. The reality is people should start off by investing in themselves and then worry about, you know, the next steps. Because at the end of the day, without investing in yourself and growing yourself, you're not really going to reach your maximum potential and, you know, develop and build as high as you could. So you're better off to invest in yourself first and then work your way out. And that's my personal belief. And, you know, it's great that you saw that because you went to mastermind, you went, you know, you worked with coaches and all that. What made you get into that? Like, I mean, like most people don't just start off something and say, I need a coach. They usually go try to do it. And sometimes they're lucky and succeed. Sometimes they succeed just because they're naturally disciplined. And other times they fail and don't know why. And then sometimes people lead them to coaches and some take it, some don't. Some give up, some continue, but you went right to the coach and you went in the mastermind. So you saw the value from the beginning. How did that come about?
Yeah. You know, growing up in high school, I wasn't like the most popular kid. I was pretty shy, introvert kid. I mean, for the most part, even in college, like I would say I was pretty introverted. I'd be in my, you know, Xbox playing, you know, video games. So all I've really done is I've substituted the Xbox for the computer when I trade stocks now, but it's the exact same thing. So growing up, I felt like, you know, I got to work on myself. I got to get better. I can't be introverted all my life. You know, I can't be this shy person all of my life. If I really want to achieve my business goals, I got to step up. So it started first with like working on my communication skills, working on all of that. So I got a coach for that, took some online courses on that part. Then I'm like, you know, I got to really work at my trading. I got to learn trading the right way and not gamble. So my business partner now, he was my mentor. He taught me how to trade, right? The older gentleman, he taught me how to trade. Took me under his wing. And so then that's when I cemented under me that I could have spent years trying to learn the stock market on my own, trial and error. Maybe I would have gotten it, but most likely I would have given up and quit, right? Because I would have lost my money. So when I got a mentor in trading and he just told me, hey, Anmol, I've been doing this 30 years. This is what you not need to do. This is what you need to do. And that shortened my learning curve a lot because I just trusted the coach. I just said, did whatever he told me to do. And I got the results. So that cemented in my mind that, okay, coaching is great because I could have spent years trial and error and learn it and made mistakes and it would have been expensive mistakes. But more than expensive mistake is how much time I would have wasted trying to figure it out on my own. Clearly, we're not the smartest people. If you think you're the smartest person, you know, you got it wrong. We're not the smartest people. There's always somebody who knows a little bit more than you. So it just logically makes sense to get that person because you might spend years, but you can never get time back. I could pay the coach and make the money back, but I can never get the time back. So that what made me seek out coaches and mentors in all areas of my life. And I still do. I never quit. I still have coaches in all areas of my life. Like recently this year, my goal was health. I got to get in shape. I got to get fit again, or how I used to be. Okay, great. Personal trainer comes at the same time every single day. We work out. That's my coach for that area. So I have coaches in all areas of my life. And I think Napoleon Hill talks about it as well.
Yes.
Having your board of advisors, having your counsel. Right. And that's what I do. I have wise counsel, people way smarter than I am. And that's what I attribute my success to.
Love it. Now, you brought up two points here that are really, really good. Like, one is time is one of those things that we always underestimate, because everyone thinks that time is infinite and that they, oh, it's just some time, you know, I'll work on things later. It's just a little time, no big deal. I'm not losing anything because all I'm doing is putting in my time. I'm not putting in money. And what most people do not realize is that time is the most expensive asset you have, because it's the only thing you can't replenish. You can earn $1 million, blow it, lose it, and go out and rebuild it. But when 10 years of your life is gone, they're gone. There's no buying it back. So, and that's one thing that's, you know, you realize right away. So that was great. Going to what you're saying, that, you know, you're not the smartest person in the room. I mean, I always thought I was. My nickname was God, but I'm just kidding. On a serious note, is that the way I look at it is that if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. And that's what it comes down to. You know, just like I asked you before, what was the hard part for you? There's also a moment in time, because we have that self-doubt in everything we do. It's just natural, right? Because we're negatively natural, because our minds are taught to protect us. And protection is always beware, watch out. And where I'm going with this is that we have that moment where our fears, our worries, our experiences kind of calm down, because we have what I call that aha moment. And sometimes we have it many times throughout our career. But that aha moment I'm wondering about is that moment where that doubt kind of decimated, or at least subsided a bit. And you thought, okay, I'm in the right spot. I'm doing the right thing. Now I just got to keep going and get bigger. I finally feel like I'm in my element. What was that moment for you?
That moment for me was, there was a moment in my trading where, you know, like, we would keep a track of our statistics, right? We would keep a track of statistics. And there was a time where I was like not making any money trading. I was just like, you know, back and forth, making it, losing it, making it, losing it. And it was all because, like, you know, I was getting out of the winning trades pretty soon, right? And then I would hold on to the losing trades much longer than I should have held it, should have gotten out of them. So what happened was, like, I spoke to my mentor and we sat down. We said, okay, if you just followed your plan, where you got out, where you should have gotten out, rather than trading emotionally, here's what the result would have been. So here you are, your actual results, where you lost money. And here, if you just followed your plan, you did what you said you're going to do, you got out when you said you're going to do it, you would have actually made X amount. That was kind of the moment where I was like, wow, okay, so my strategy actually works. I just don't let it work, right? I get out of the winning stuff soon. I get out, hold my losers too long. But if I just stuck to it, I actually would have made money. And that was aha moment that, okay, wow, it's actually about psychology. It's not about being an amazing trader, knowing what the economy is going to do. It's literally about sticking to a systematic plan. And that's when it clicked on me. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to do this. I'm going to remove my emotions. I'm going to get robotic, almost robotic indifference, and just follow this plan. And then I started doing that. And guess what? I started making money. That was the moment when I realized, okay, it's just literally about integrity. It's about doing what you said you're going to do and doing it when you said you're going to do it. I think that was a difference maker for me in all areas of my life. And that's actually one of the first chapters I talk about in my book, is about integrity. It's about doing what you said you're going to do and doing it when you said you're going to do it. Think about how much our quality of life would be different if we did every single thing we said we're going to do and we completed it when we said we're going to do it. The whole life would change. There's no procrastination in there when you start to live as your word. You start honoring your word. You start believing in yourself. Because if you don't believe in yourself, if you don't believe in your own word, how do you expect others to believe in you? How do you expect the universe to believe in you? How do you expect your clients to believe in you if you don't believe in yourself? So I think that was the biggest thing. It starts from belief.
For sure. Let's unpack the strategy thing here, right? Because that's the biggest concern I think everybody has when they get into trading. How do I know when to sell? How do I know when to buy? And, you know, and everyone wants to time the market, which I don't think anyone can accurately time the market all the time. But there's sometimes you kind of know where the lucky winners are and where the not so lucky ones are through experience. So you can kind of have a clearer path through experience. But in the beginning, you don't know. So how did you choose where to trade and or what to invest in? And how did you know when to cash out?
So I trade very technically. So technical analysis is where we're not really looking at the company. We're not looking at the CEO. We're not looking at what even the company does for that matter. We're only looking at the charts, right? The technical analysis charts, which is just a price history of where the stock has been in the past, what's it at now, what the trends are like. And we're just following that chart. And chart reading is a skill. I mean, it's like another language. For those who don't know, it might seem like all these lines on the chart we're looking at. But those things give us strategies. And those strategies we take and we backtest them. We run it through our spreadsheets and our models, and we realize, just like a casino would, right? So a casino knows it has a 0.1% or 1% edge, right? So no matter how much people play, it doesn't matter to them. Even if you go and win $1 million at the casino, they're not going to mind. They just want you to keep playing, right? Because in the long run, they know that they have this 1% edge. And in the long run, they're going to come out ahead. And that's what we try to do as traders. We find an edge where we have a certain element of edge. For example, we might do statistics on our trading and turns out this pattern has a 50% chance of winning. So that means if you take 10 trades, you're going to win some, or win five, and you're going to lose five. But then if we just make the winners at least two times the size of our average loser, then statistically it's impossible for me not to make money, right? Because if I make, take five trades and win $10 on each, I made $50, right? And on five, let's say I lost $5 each. Overall, I'm still positive. And that's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to create a model. So I know it might sound complicated, but it's really not. It's looking at your spreadsheet, determining what your win-loss ratio is, right? And what your average batting average is, what we call a win percentage. So as long as that model is positive, then you just got to keep doing it over and over and over and over again, just like a casino. In the long run, you're going to come out ahead.
Well, at the casino, you never come out ahead, but I know what you're getting at.
And yeah, the casino will come out ahead. We're trying to be that casino in this.
Yeah. Warren Buffett, when he gives advice in investing, he thinks that everyone should not invest in individual companies. In fact, the advice is to invest in an index fund, and an almost key word here is a set it and forget it. Now, obviously, you don't completely set and forget it, but at the same time, you just sort of leave it there for the natural long-term growth. So that's his strategy or his advice he gives people, which is just to do index funds. And it sounds like what you do is completely the opposite. So what are your thoughts on that? Like, if somebody's new, and should they just go into index fund? Should they do half and half? Should they just avoid index funds? What are your perspective?
Yeah, so for most people, it's better off buying an index fund. But when I say most people, I mean the average person, right? You have another business, you have another job. You're not actually doing this as a living. You're not a professional trader, right? You're just somebody has another job, has another business. You just want to invest in the stock market. Then yes, Warren Buffett's advice is spot on. You should not be picking individual stocks, because you could put all your money in one stock and you could lose it all. Whereas an index fund is a basket of stocks. You're never going to go to zero. You're never going to lose money. And in the long run, it's been proven to be the best approach. So yeah, for 99% of people, the average person, that is the best thing to do. But for people like me who do this for a living, who are watching the markets every single day, and we do this as a job pretty much, right? We have the skills. We went through years of training. So for us, it's different, right? For us, it doesn't make sense to do what the average person is going to do, because then we're just going to get the result the average person is going to get. And what's the point of having this job, right? If I'm just going to get the average results. So for traders, we can maximize our returns by many different strategies. We can, as we saw in 2020, the markets dropped. 2022, the markets dropped 35%. Most people would be holding, and yeah, they're still positive now because the market's come back up. But for us, we were timing it a little bit. Now, we're not going to time it perfectly, but as long as we captured the meat where we got out exactly, we avoided that 35% drop, we bought it back again right around the lows, now our returns are drastically higher. But yeah, I would agree with Warren Buffett's advice for the average person.
Fantastic. So what is your avatar? Like, who's your ideal client and what do you look for? Because there's not going to be, not everyone in the market is going to be for you. Let's be honest. There's too many people who start up businesses and you ask them who's their client and they say everyone. And that's really not true. That's usually the sign of a failure. But so everyone has an avatar, ideal client, and it doesn't mean it's the only client. It's usually the ideal client. So who's your ideal client?
So our ideal client is obviously somebody who lives in the US because we trade the US stock market. And then the other thing is that they've either had a successful business in the past that they've sold, right? So now they have the time and the money to actually devote to learn this craft and to do this for themselves. Or people who are just like, hey, I have enough savings. I had a nice job. I just want to do something else. I just can't do this 9-to-5 thing anymore, right? So then those people would come in. And as long as you have the time, you have to have the time. This is not something that you can learn just by watching a video on YouTube. This is a business, right? It's just like any other business you're starting. So you have to have the time to devote to learning this. I think that would be the ideal person, would be somebody with an open mind, willingness to learn, lives in the United States. Now, we have male and female both, but I would say 90% of our clients end up becoming males for some reason. I guess that's the finance world. We're dominated by it. I think that is one of the reasons. And I think also our best clients are, 25 and older. Younger people usually want to get the get-rich-quick stuff, so they haven't developed that mindset yet. They're still on Reddit or Twitter and buying GameStop and crypto and all that stuff. and not doing the right way. So usually it takes a little maturity, and people usually come to us after they've tried all these different stuff. They learned the hard way, and now they're like, okay, I want to do it the right way.
Yeah. Now, speaking of crypto, what are your thoughts on this crypto stuff or NFTs? Let's speak on both of them.
Yeah. So, I mean, crypto is definitely the future. There's no denying that, right? I mean, the cat's out of the bag, and technology is a one-way street. Technology, once it's out of the bag, it can't go back. It can only forward. Technology is a one-way street. So crypto is definitely the future. It's here to stay, and it's going to have a huge role in our economy. Now, that doesn't mean you should buy Bitcoin. That doesn't mean you should buy Ethereum, right? And there's a lot of things you have to be wary of in crypto. There's a lot of scams. There's a lot of pump and dumps, right? There's a lot of meme coins that are just as jokes. They're never going to be used as a technology. So the best way to think about crypto is, like, don't think about it as a currency. Think about it as a technology, right? It's a blockchain technology. That's how you want to think about it. And that's like the early stages of the internet. You know, we had the dot-com bubble where everything with a name dot-com was just like rocket ship, right? And what happened with crypto in 2020, 2021, where everything was a crypto, it was just go higher, right? And then in 2020, what happened? The dot-com bubble bust, right? 95% of the companies went bankrupt. They don't exist anymore. But then came a few winners: Amazon, Google, Microsoft, Apple. Came a few winners. And that's what's happening in crypto right now, is that big push, everything crashed, few winners will come in. And it's going to be like the early stages of the internet. But now my view is that Bitcoin is kind of like the AOL, right, of the internet. It was the first one. It started it all. It was a great idea, but it's not the future, right? It's like how AOL was overtaken by faster, better technology, like, you know, Facebook and Google. That's what's going to happen with Bitcoin eventually, is that it's outdated technology. It's too old. It can never be used to power the financial systems of the world. It's way expensive, takes a lot of energy, and more importantly, it's super slow. Like, if I send you a Bitcoin, it might take 30 minutes for transaction to complete. Why would I ever use that when I can Zelle you, you know, like in a second? I could PayPal you in a second. So I think there's faster technology like Algorand. I think that is kind of what I'm putting my bet on. But again, everybody should do their own research.
Wow, that's interesting and fascinating. I mean, I agree with you in terms of the technology. I mean, the technology is really the breakthrough. It's not really the, like you said, the Bitcoin or anything like that. And I think that technology can be used way beyond just the market. I think, in a sense, that, I mean, like, if you think about it, if the banks adopted the technology, imagine how secure that would be. Right. So I find the technology fascinating. I'm not so much of a Bitcoin guy myself. I've never invested in it. I know guys that cashed out. I know a guy who got into it early and actually was able to buy his house as a result of selling off his crypto or his Bitcoin. And, you know, it was amazing. I mean, it's like 40% down. He went in with like a $50,000 deposit. And then at some point in time, he cashed out, and, you know, 40% of his down of his house was paid by that cash out. So that's remarkable. But I also have friends who have put in $10,000, and they say that they got $800 back.
Right.
So, I mean, not everybody's going to lose, not everybody's going to win. But to me, it seems like it's too volatile. And again, that's Bitcoin. The software itself, I think it could be utilized a lot better than it is. And I think there's a world of opportunity with that tech. So I agree with you on that part. We talked about who the avatar is. Who is, like, who should not get involved in trading?
I think number one, if you have the get rich quick mindset, you should not get involved. This is not a get rich quick business. It's a serious business. You got to put in a lot of work, right? And so that's number one. You have to have an open mind. You have to have the willingness to learn. And you also have to have some level of savings, because, you know, in trading, you don't want to come to trading broke, right? Why? Because that puts pressure on you to make money from trading right now. So you don't have the learning curve, right? So I always tell people you should have some savings when you come into trading, so that trading is not putting pressure on you to pay your bills. Because if you are pressured to make your pay your bills, you're going to make bad decisions. You're going to make decisions coming from a point of, I got to make money right now, rather than doing the right thing. So I think somebody should have savings, have an open mind, have the willingness to learn, or at least they have some sort of income coming in, right? And then number one, you trust yourself enough that you can be emotionally stable. Because there's some people, trading is not for them, right? People get addicted to gambling. People have all these sorts of stuff. Because trading releases the same hormones of dopamine and serotonin. Same way when you have sex, when you gamble, when you do cocaine. Now, traders, though, we're getting that every single day. So if you're not an emotionally stable person, this could be bad trading business for you. We saw that, right? In 2000 and 2008, where all these Wall Street people, you know, all these stories of, you know, them really taking it to extreme hardship, right? After losing that money. So I think you have to be an emotionally stable person, and you have to have somebody who's willing to work on himself and realize that, hey, I'm not perfect. I got limitations, but you know what? I'm going to work at it, and I'm going to stay calm and objective in the moment.
Right, right, right. So it could be addictive, basically.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. So with that being said, where do you see your future going? Right. Like, I mean, it's like, how long have you been in the business, and how long do you think, like what's the future look like for you? Cause I mean, now you're releasing books, you're now trying to onboard people to teach them. So it's not like you're just doing trading. I mean, you start off with trading yourself, and now you're helping other people, and now you're doing books. So what would you say is your, you know, future forecast?
So, you know, I try not to think too much ahead. You know, my goals are like very small term goals. Okay, what's the next goal? What's the next goal? Like eventually, one day I did have a goal. Okay, I'm going to open my own hedge fund, and I'm going to be this money manager guy. And I set all these kind of goals, and I almost did it. I filed the paperwork with the SEC, about to open my fund. But then I actually spoke with people who run their hedge funds, and I was like, I wouldn't want to trade my life for them, right? Because here I am in my computer trading, having conversations with great people like you. I'm enjoying my life. I'm usually done trading the rest of the day. I don't have to do anything. Now, if I open up a hedge fund, now I got to be, you know, compliance, legal, you know, talk to investors, go to networking events, raise money. I got to do all this stuff. So am I buying myself a job? And that's kind of what I thought. And that's why I scrapped the whole idea of starting my fund. And I would much rather do this and help the average person kind of make it in this business. So I just see myself doing this for the foreseeable future. And maybe at a different level, maybe we'll have more clients. Maybe the education side is going to grow into a bigger one. Maybe I'll have other coaches coming as part of the Live Traders brand, teaching other people so I don't have to be there all the time. So I think that is kind of where I'm going, is focusing on my trading, continuing to level up my trading, trade bigger funds, and then building an academy where people can come, not only learn, get better, but then as the name says of my company, Live Traders, we trade live every single day. Every day I trade is live streamed. With my account, P&L, everything open. So win or lose, people will get to see it in real time. I think that keeps me sharp. That keeps me competitive, knowing that, you know, there's thousands of people watching. Like, it keeps me on my A game, so I don't do anything stupid because I want to set a good example. So I think I just want to continue to grow that, build that, and, you know, take this to the world and say, hey, you don't have to be a finance guy to make it in this business. I was not a finance guy. I was horrible at math. Right. I mean, I barely graduated in high school from math. I was like crying. I had, you know, tuition. I hated numbers. So if I can do it in this business, then I know that everybody else can too. And that's basically my goal right now.
Fantastic. For people who have their 9-to-5 jobs and they're not happy doing it and they want to do something else, whether it's open up a business, whether it's trading, whichever it is, like they want to take the leap, they want to do something. What would your advice to them be?
My advice to them would be take the leap. Nothing good ever happens in the comfort zone. The life that you want is outside of your comfort zone. So if you're going to live in this box, put yourself in a bubble or a box, well, that's the life you're going to get. The life you have now is the result of what you did. So if you want a different life, if we want a better life, then you got to do things a different way, right? So I think I would just tell them, take the step, take the leap. I know it's going to be hard. I know it's going to be stressful. I know you're going to feel anxiety. But that is what you need to grow, right? You go to the gym, you work out, your muscles are sore, it hurts, but then it grows into a bigger, better muscle, right? Same thing in life. Diamonds are formed under pressure. So you got to put yourself under that pressure and you will get rewarded for it. If you do things the right way, you surround yourself with the right people, you will be rewarded, but you have to take that risk, right? Nothing good ever happens in the comfort zone. So I just urge you to take it, learn fast, fail fast. Yes, you're going to make mistakes. Yes, you're going to struggle. Yes, you're going to feel like you want to quit. Keep going anyway. Eventually, you'll get to where you want to be.
Fantastic. Now, I'm going to, you know, going off that question, I'm going to ask you, when they start, like someone's willing to take the leap, they're willing to do that. Do you suggest that they keep their full time and build their business part time, or jump full, you know, basically have just say 6 months in the bank, quit your job and go full force, forget the part time stuff? What's your advice?
I would always tell people to keep something on the side, because I'll give you a story of one of my students, right? So he lives in California. So the good part about California was that he could trade in the morning, right? 6 a.m. till like 8 or 9 a.m. He would trade the first few hours of the stock market open, and then he'd go to his regular job. Now, the benefit of that was he got to work on his trading craft while he's learning, right? Developing, not making money trading, but enabled him to learn. And then he went to his job so he'd actually put food on the table for himself and his family. I think that was the best way he could have done. And I had another student who wanted to learn how to trade, but he wasn't making money trading. But he's like, dude, I got to have some sort of income coming in. He would drive Uber at night. Right. He drove that. He did that for 2 years because he didn't make any money trading for 2 years. He was driving Ubers at night, you know, kind of funding his trading business in a way. 2 years later, perfect. He's now a full-time trader, doesn't need to do that anymore. So I always suggest if you have the option, have a job, right? Don't feel ashamed of what you have to do to get your goals. Like, you know, people say all the time, oh, I don't want to do that, though. I don't want to drive the Ubers thing or whatever. Don't be ashamed of what you got to do to get to your goals. If you're ashamed of your goals, and to do whatever it takes to get your goals, then you're not worthy of them in the first place.
Well said. All right. Awesome. I'm going to get two more questions and go into what I call the lightning round. So the next question is going to be, how do you know you've had a successful day?
I think you've had a successful day if you plan the day in advance and you execute it on that day, right? So for me, every night in the evening, I'll write down, okay, if I just do these six things in the morning, right, next day, that's a success. That's it. I don't judge myself based on what I do or didn't do. If I just do these six things, these six tasks tomorrow, that's a successful day. So to have a successful day, you need to know the night before what the successful day looks like to you, right? What are the things you need to do to have a successful day? And then you better have it scheduled on your calendar. Those tasks better have a time slot associated. Otherwise, they're not going to happen. Life will come in the way. Something's going to happen. Not going to feel successful. So to feel successful, you got to schedule those tasks, get it done. And then in the evening, when you reflect back on your day, you'll be like, wow, I said I'm going to do these six things and I did it. I followed my own word. And that's a really amazing feeling.
Awesome. All right. Last but not least, before the lightning round, for everyone looking to find you online, where would they go?
Best places would be Twitter or Instagram. My username on both of those is Delta90, DeltaNinety. Had a long time ago, didn't change it. So that's the username. And as far as my book, you could get it on Audible, iTunes, Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, Walmart, wherever you buy your books. It's called Prepping for Success, 10 Keys for Making It in Life. And if you're somebody who's looking to learn how to trade, then livetraders.com is where we do our online trading education. And you're going to get a free course that I record. It's a 2-hour video course that'll give you pretty much all the foundational elements you need for investing.
Fantastic. All right, let's get into the lightning round. Just a few fun questions about you personally. With question number one, what is your favorite food and why?
Favorite food? Ah, man, I hate to say it, but it's pizza. Why? I shouldn't be, you know, like I love a pepperoni pizza. I'm in New York, so, you know, it's the hub of good pizzas. And yeah, that's my favorite food. Why? I don't know.
Awesome. All right, favorite travel spot and why?
Sedona, Arizona. Beautiful nature. It's got that energy. There's something positive energy in there. They say it's the energy vortex. And it makes you feel good. Sedona is just gorgeous, stunning. I love taking the ATV out there and just, you know, going at it.
Great. All right. Favorite book and or podcast?
Favorite book. I'm going to say Three Laws of Performance by Steve Zaffron. That's a really good book, all about psychology, personal development of high performance. Podcast. Podcasts come and go. I don't have a favorite podcast. I might have favorite episodes, but not a favorite podcast at the moment. But, you know.
Makes sense. Awesome. Last but not least, if you were given unlimited amount of money, but only 48 hours to spend it, what you spend, you get to keep. What you don't spend gets taken away. What would you do?
Well, if I had 48 hours to spend it, but the question, I guess, is do I keep it or is this the 48 hours is all I got?
Yeah, whatever you spend in the 48 hours, you get to keep. What you don't spend gets taken away.
That's a really good question. I haven't thought about that, but you know, I'd probably put all that money in my trading investment account and try to grow that into a larger account so I can give back in a much larger way. So, I mean, that's probably what I would do, but you know, I would donate to certain charities that I would want to donate to. I would definitely, you know, anything I could do to use my money for an impact, I'm all for. So I guess when that offer comes to me, I'll do the research then, how I can have an impact with that money. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
Love it. And well, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me. It was great chatting with you.
Absolute pleasure. If you like what you saw and you want to see some more, subscribe to the link below. Thanks for tuning in to the John Papaloni Show.